It's nice to be with you tonight among young people like my own age. Good to see you. And I'm going to read the scriptures first of all. 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We'll start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, or God's love, out of a pure heart, out of a good conscience, and out of faith unfeigned, or faith that's unhypocritical, or sincere, or genuine, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto feigned jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, or maybe slave dealers, for liars, for perjured persons, if any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, and putting me into the ministry. We know that God will bless the reading of his own precious word. Now, as for my subject this evening, time will not allow me tonight to cover all the lessons that I have learned over many years in serving the Lord and in the ministry of God's word. But I hope to cover enough ground that I trust will be a help to you and will help you in your Christian life and if you're involved in the work of God. Because there's nothing that's so important as serving the Lord. And some of the things I will say, well, may be familiar to you, obvious to you, but I say them because they are essential to do the work of God in a proper way. Paul wrote to young Timothy in this epistle in chapter 3 and verse 15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mightest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself, or conduct thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." For how you conduct yourself and how you behave yourself will influence the testimony of the church to which you belong. This is the church that in this particular area that preaches the truth. And there are other churches I know, but this is our responsibility. To preach the truth, be the pillar, to stand for the truth, be a stay for the truth. And so how you behave yourself, how you conduct yourself, is a very important thing. And I trust that as we consider I have to say tonight, that it will reflect upon your life and testimony, because your life and testimony reflects upon the work of God. We are taught that we ought to know how to behave ourselves. And lives become with the gospel of Christ. That's very important. And that's important not only for your life, but it's important for the work of God. How to behave yourself in the house of God. That's the place where we serve the Lord and we went from there to do the work of God. So it's important that we know how to behave ourselves in the work of God. I'm going to cover some points tonight, and I'm going to do it briefly because time would not allow me to. Our brother says I can preach at 12 o'clock. He didn't. He just said for a wee while. So I'm going to be a wee while in preaching tonight. The first thing I want to deal with is the qualification for the ministry. Now, I was asked to do the regarding the work of God and evangelism over 50 years. Well, I want to cover the work of God, and I trust in doing that will cover our whole outlook on the service for the Lord. And the qualification I'm speaking about is more to do with spiritual and moral than intellectual. Now, I'm not against gaining knowledge, and the more you get, the better. But I have learned over the years, man's spirituality is greater than his intellectual attainments. If you blend both together, all the better. But if you're going for one above another, go for the spiritual and the moral. Here's young Timothy. He was saved as a young man, and we're told in chapter 2 of the second epistle that he, chapter 3, and verse 15, that from a child he's known the Holy Scriptures. The word used there actually is the letters of the Greek alphabet, is what it meant. He knew the language, he knew the language of Scripture. He knew the Hebrew and what it meant. He was a man familiar from a young child regarding the Word of God. But as a young man had a testimony, because you'll find in Acts chapter 16, it says there regarding Timothy, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. So here was a young man that had a testimony. In chapter 2, or the second epistle rather, chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says, when I called to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, the unhypocritical faith, the sincere, the genuine faith that is in thee, this young man had a testimony in the work of the Lord. And that's very important. If you're going to do anything for God, you must be sincere. Of course, you must be saved, sincere, and genuine in the work of the Lord. And you'll find that Timothy had a testimony at home. Regarding the Apostle Paul, Paul says here in this chapter I read to you in verse 12, the Lord counted me faithful, put him into the ministry. It's not enough to think that you'll be faithful after God calls you, for God will not call you if you're not faithful. And that's an important thing. You notice also what he said there in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. You see, God is looking for a man that he can trust with his word. Men and women who will not forsake the word, who will not give an inch to the enemy, but will stand true upon the word of God. Faithful men. Men the Lord can trust. And as well as that, if you look at the first missionary journey of Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul later on in that journey, you'll find they went first to Cyprus. Now, why Cyprus? Cyprus is where Barnabas came from. And that's where you start. If you're going to be sincere and faithful to the Lord, you start at home. When I got saved, I didn't know much about the Bible. I knew more about gambling and all the rest of other things in the world. But when I got saved, I wanted to know the book. I wanted to serve the Lord. And therefore, I started at home. In the place where I lived, I started doing door-to-door work. I started in the place I was brought up, that knew me for a different reason, that knew me for things that were not worth talking about now. But I round the doors, I knocked the doors, I told them I got saved. I told them I could come to know the Lord. And a group of us started, and we did thousands upon thousands of homes in Belfast. Twice a week on a Saturday afternoon. Round the doors, knocking doors, talking to people about salvation. We did thousands upon thousands of homes. If I described the places, maybe you wouldn't know where I was talking about. Leganeel, where I was brought up, right down the Shankill and the Cromlin, right in the Sandy Row, right up the Raven Hill and the Craigie, all those houses, all tourist houses in those days, down the Consbrook and all of that, I would say about a third of Belfast. Twice a week, rain, hail, snow, knocking doors, and telling people about Christ. Open our meetings, taking meetings, right from I was saved. I'm actually just thinking the day. I remember going to an open air meeting in October in Downpatrick. And my friend had a wee Vesper scooter. I went in the back of it. I got a split lip with a cold. We stood and preached in the open air in Downpatrick. They made a pub and threw pennies and halfpennies at us in those days. Young people wouldn't know what those are, but the older ones will know. And there we preached and drove home in that wee scooter. Frozen it was. But that was nothing to do to serve the Lord and live for him. But the thing is, you must have a testimony in your home, in the place where you live. You know, when I got saved, my mum and dad weren't too keen on me becoming a Christian. I was told not to speak about it in the house because some of my hard men uncles, they came to my mother and said, stop them. They didn't mind me running around clubs with them as a young teenager, barely into my teens, throwing darts and running around drinking dens with them. All these hard men. But my mum chased them. You didn't fool around with my mum. Didn't mess about with her when you were young as well. She knew where to hit you and what to hit you with, whatever she had in her hand. And she told them to clear off, mind their own business, because she knew the life I was going to live. And but she worked with a boy who was a preacher, who preached. And he was fond of the women. And my mum was very moral. My mum wouldn't have looked at televisions if there was a boy on who was a sodomite or an adulterer, she'd have turned it off. And so things like that. And so they expected standards. The boys they knew around the area were not cases where we lived, supposed to be Christians. So they thought I had to become one of these. So for a while I wasn't allowed to speak about Christ in the home. And so you have to have an area of testimony. And I sought to have a testimony among them over years. They came to accept that I was genuine and real. You see, God only uses saved men and faithful men in the ministry. And there's that inward call to the ministry. But the inward call must also be qualified by the outward call of the church, recognizing that this is a faithful man, this man is a testimony, and then send them forth from the work of God. I think those things are essential in the work of God. And if you're going into the ministry, those things are essential. That you must have a testimony and be recognized as such. So the qualification for the ministry is an important thing in the work of the Lord. And then another thing that's important is supplication. You need to learn the value of prayer. Remember what the Savior said in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Now you can do a lot of harm without the Lord and without prayer. And there's boys that have done a lot of harm over the years, I remember, as a Christian. And the work of God and hindered the work of God and hurt the work of God. But the man who loves the Lord will never do harm to the work of God. Carnal men don't cause trouble in churches. Sorry, spiritual men don't cause trouble in churches. Carnal men do. They cause trouble in churches. But the value of prayer is something you need to get a grasp of. Even as a young believer, learn to pray. Remember how in Exodus 17, when Israel were going to battle with the Amalekites, and the Amalekite will speak of the flesh, Amalek speaks of the flesh, and how young Joshua, he was a good general, a good soldier, but against the Amalekite, he had no power until Moses lifted up his hands to pray. And while Moses held up his arms in prayer, Israel prevailed. When Moses' arms fell down, Amalek prevailed. If you're going to overcome the flesh, you need to pray. Need all this to pray. And to seek the Lord and call upon him. The Lord Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you will accomplish little in your life on the work of God without prayer. C.H. Spurgeon was one time asked, what's the secret of the success of his ministry? He took the man down to a basement in his church, and there were hundreds of people praying. He says, there's my secret of my success. A people that can pray and seek the Lord. Above all else, that you learn about the work of God and minister the work of God and about life itself, learn to pray. And learn to pray effectually. Learn to pray the influence with God. And if you're living right, then your prayer life will be effective before the Lord. The disciples asked the Lord to teach them to pray, not to preach, because they knew that prayer was essential in the work of the Lord. And I've found many a time in the work of God that you're left alone with God in prayer. I remember one time in my church, a certain election took place and certain boys didn't like the people who elected, and they split my church overnight. We started off with nothing in Cookstown. We really shouldn't have been a church at all. Everything was against us. We built it up, and they split it overnight. And I've learned in life many a time that, like David, when he came back from Achish, one of the leaders of the Philistines, and the Amalekites that raided the camp, and the people taking his wives and children and all, and the very people turned against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's why I say to you, learn to pray. It's good to have good men around you, but men are only men. And there's time men will fail. But it's good to be alone with God and to trust God and look to him, and he will indeed help you in the place of prayer. Thirdly, the declaration of the word is important. Here's where faithfulness is required in the man God calls to the ministry. This demands a study of God's word. I sometimes fear today that younger ministers, not all of them, of course, go to the computer, get a few facts out of the computer, get somebody else a sermon and preaches it. And then they wonder why it's dry and dead and nothing's happening. And why it doesn't benefit those who listen. I feel sometimes as well many things today take the place of the preaching of the word. Testimonies. Now, testimonies are all right to have them. But when they take the place of the word, in their own place. And sometimes people will listen to testimony, listen to the preaching of the word. Maybe it's the preacher's fault. I don't know. But give me the preaching of the word anytime. Entertainment is the thing of the day. We're told we want to get crowds and we have to entertain the young people. We have to have gimmicks. But do they bring about conversions? Is God in it? That's the thing you got to ask yourself. Is God in it? You see, the word of God is perfect in converting the soul, says the 19th Psalm. Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word. This is what God uses. This is the gospel, it's the power of God and salvation. And that's what's essential in this day. And I have seen what the gospel can do. I mentioned to you the church in Cookstown. We started off with nothing, nobody. And our church never got off the ground, really. We had a wee wooden hut that was falling down. Certain people didn't like us. The Orange Order didn't like us because I was preaching against the apostasy. And they were running the apostasy. They threatened to burn our church to the ground and throw our church in the river and all the rest. And Cookstown, when I went up the social ladder, well, you join the big churches and you join the Orange Order. And here's me kicking against all these boys and hammering up the Pope and all the rest of it. And we should never get off the ground. But then you see, when you preach the word and the Lord is in it, then God begins to work. And God moved. And God saved some of the hardest and roughest men in the town and brought them into the church. It wasn't me to do it, it was the Lord working. You see, if a man is called of God and doesn't preach the book, he's no good to God or man. No good. Because it's the word of God that's all important. And you have to preach the word. And I tell young people today, get to know this book. When I got saved, I didn't know this book. I didn't know the books of the Bible were. When I went to church, I got a small Bible. I put it in my pocket. If I didn't recognize where the preacher was going to read it, if I kept it there. If it wasn't Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's all I knew where the Bible was. But I spent hours upon hours upon hours reading the scriptures, getting to know the Bible, going to hear good men preach the word. Spent time in fellowship. We had a Bible study even at lunch hour at work. We put a couple of paint tins, a couple of planks across, and we sat and studied the Bible. And thanks to God, I couldn't get enough of this book. And you got to know the book. And when I was dealing with my young people, I spent all my ministry among the young people. I went to the very last day, if I could get Friday night free, I was at the Young People's Fellowship. And I used to get them to know the Bible, and I told them how to do it, and I told them the right verses in their Bible. And I would have picked subjects like, right, I'm an Islamic terrorist, I'm going to teach Islam. You prove me wrong from the Bible. I'm a Roman Catholic priest. Here's what Rome believes. You prove me wrong from the Bible. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. You prove me wrong from the Bible. I made them study. So that we get to know God's word, so they're able to give a reason for the hope within them with meekness and fear. It's getting to know the book is the all-important thing. And I say to young people today, give thyself to reading. That's what Paul told Timothy. Read God's word. Read the Puritans. Read commentaries that are going to do you good. There are commentaries that I have at home, and it's obvious what it says. I like men to make me think. Don't lock my mind to great things of God and the word. Read good books. Read church history, young people. That's where you learn the mistakes of the past and learn what the fights were in the past and we have benefit in the day. Read church history. Read biographies. Get a good concordance. Get good textbooks to help you in reading the scriptures. And study to know the word of God. Also connected with the task of the preaching is the defending of the faith. And don't be afraid to take on the enemy. Young people, listen to this. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. In the verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. There are people out there, even some professing to be Christians, and their whole business is to deceive you, to go their wee way and their wee notions. I've met a whole lot of oddballs in my time, I can tell you. Boys who said they were the God's gift to the church, with their wee notions and wee ideas. And I learned a lesson as a young believer. I took with that Bible class we met at lunchtime. It was run by a certain crowd with a certain doctrine. And they were trying to imposed their doctrine upon us. So the rest of us all got together and said, we're going to take these boys on. And I learned from a young age not to go with any man said what the book said. And that has kept me sort of sane up to now, going after the things of God. Learn to read the book. Learn, go by the book. Do what some man says. For if you do, you'll be deceived by those lying in wait to deceive. Like a wild animal just ready to pounce upon the innocent prey. And there are men and women out there today just waiting the chance to take you away from Christ. It happened to the Galatians. Who hath you run well, said Paul. Who hath hindered you? They were hindered from going after Christ. And so on. And you know, if you're going to stand for God, you need to stand on the authority of God's precious word. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, for example. Remember, the devil has his ministers, 2 Corinthians 11 says. The devil has his own doctrines, 1 Timothy 4 and 1 tells us. The doctrine of demons, doctrine of devils. Remember that. And people tell you today, well now, if you're going to get on and the Christian church is going to make progress in this world, we all have to be together. Well, Paul doesn't say that. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 13, now for a recompense in the same I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Well, how are you going to be enlarged in heart and even work? And he goes down here not to have fellowship with certain people. And look at how he ends it. Wherefore come out from among them and be a separate. I'm a separatist by conviction, not by convenience. Come out from among them, be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So here's the Lord saying, the Lord's not in false worship or corrupt worship. He's in the worship that is in spirit and in truth. And he says, I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. You'll be sons and daughters of repute or esteem is what it means. And you see that word, Lord Almighty? It's Theos Pantocrator. It's the same equivalent to the El Shaddai of the Old Testament. And the El Shaddai of the Old Testament has its derivation from the breast or from the heart. It's linked to the high priest with the garments, with his breastplate, with the 12 tribes upon it that lay upon the heart of the high priest, because that's where the people of God lie with the Lord. They lay upon the Lord's heart. And here's the Lord saying, if you obey me and are faithful unto me, you shall be reckoned as sons and daughters of esteem. That's what it means in this chapter. That's why it's so important. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, I am set for the defense of the gospel. It's like a man in a courtroom. He's there to take on all comers. I am set for the defense of the gospel. And that's important, brothers and sisters and young people, for the work of God. And it's your responsibility as much as the preacher's, because the faith has been delivered to the saints, not to the preachers, not to the theologians. If the faith is lost in this land, then it's much your responsibility as anybody else. Because you then need to know what you believe and be able to stand true for the work of God and the things that are important in the work of God. You know, it's important, young people, to grasp this. The importance of standing true to Christ, standing true to God's word. That's the all-important thing. We have a saying in this land, no surrender. Well, no surrender to the word to anybody. Don't give an inch to the enemy. Stand true, and God will bless you. And God will make you a son and daughter of esteem. Next one I have is relationship with people. The minister who is called of God is looked after God's flock. This is connected with church membership. And when I was in the ministry, I was always anxious to try to maintain a saved membership. That is New Testament qualification for church membership. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church such as were saved, should be saved. And here is what is the qualification for membership. And of course, it's linked to my last point that you, as a preacher, seek to feed and to rule for the benefit of God's people. As a shepherd in biblical times, cared for the flock, defended it from danger, so the man called of God look after and defend God's people and look after God's kirk. In the ministry, I refuse people membership in my church. Some people think the free church receives anybody and anything going. Well, it's not true. There are people I refuse membership. And if a person came to me who caused trouble in a good church, I wouldn't accept them to my church. I told them to go and to get trouble somewhere else. I wouldn't accept them. Because they seem to cause trouble in your church. And it's not spiritual. And I'll tell you something else I learned over the years. If there's a man in my church that caused trouble and left my church, if he come back again, he would come back on the condition that I received him the membership, but he would not be able to stand for office in the church. He had no influence. I learned that as well. These are things that are important in the work of God. I never went out looking for trouble in the church. There's some men I know when they go looking for trouble, I don't. But if it comes, I'll not run away from it. I'll face it and take it on. And I always sought to do God's work right, proper, yet with love, even those who went astray. I always tried to bring them back, but I always had to maintain the testimony in God's work. And that's a very important thing. The testimony is more important than you and me. We should always remember that. And it's important that you deal with people. I always sought, as a minister, to look after people. If they're in operation, I was there the night before to pray for them. And after that, as soon as we were able to talk, I was with them again. I sought to help people, and do all I could. Many a night I spent in the police barracks trying to keep young people out of trouble and all the rest, and do things and help them out. You do, you put yourself out in the work of God. And it's important that you know the people. I remember when I was a young believer, I used to go up to this city mission meeting on a Sunday night, just a meeting like this after the service was over. There was a man there, and he was a city missionary, and he was a good man. He wasn't much of a preacher, but he was a man who knew the people, who sat down with the people, who worked with the people, who got all met with the people. And we used to have some great meetings on Sunday nights. And then he left, and they brought this young preacher along. Fantastic preacher. Fantastic delivery, ability, and all the rest. But he emptied the place. He couldn't get on with the people. He couldn't sit down and talk to them as ordinary people. He wasn't there to help them. And a great ability as a preacher. But he emptied the place. So you have to give them to get on with people and talk with people and meet people in their need and help them and be there for them and try and point them almost to Christ. In my ministry in Cookstown, there wasn't a home I went into that didn't know how to be saved. For before I left, if I couldn't turn the conversation around, I read and I prayed with them and I pointed them to Christ. It wasn't one of my church could say that minister ever told me how to be saved. They all knew how to be saved. They made them wanted it. That was up to them. But I told them the way. And I helped them much as I could to win them for Christ. You see, young people sometimes as well need to realize relationships are important. And I've seen many things over the years with young people growing up and watching them. And I remember one young man, I was just thinking about him the other day. We had a mission. And he stayed behind in one of the missions, wouldn't go home. I went down, talked to him, brought him into the room where the minister's room was, and I tried to help him, and he wanted to be saved. And that was where I did the best I could to explain to him and point him to Christ. He was getting married soon. That's a good burden for any man to carry, you know. But I knew the girl he was married and the family he was married into, and he was going to get tough. And it's bad enough when you marry and you take the wife on honeymoon, but you take the mother-in-law and the father-in-law and the sister-in-law along with you, well, you're not going to have trouble no matter who you are. And so I knew this young man was going to have problems. So that'll make him or break him. I'm sure you enjoy the holiday, but spiritually. And when he came back from honeymoon, he never appeared at church. So I went a few weeks, I went to see him. And I said to him, well, how's things? All right. Going well. But we think spiritually, oh, it's too hard, he says. Too hard. He's one of those, you know, the seed didn't fall on good ground. It fell on that ground where the cares of this life choked the word and then bring forth fruit. He never got it. He never got salvation. I remember a couple of girls, they were twins. And they made a profession in our youth fellowship. When I started off my youth fellowship, they came in their jeans, no hats. They weren't saved. It's a rough crowd came. And, well, you just bide your time and you talked and you preached. And one by one, the Lord saved, the Lord saved, the Lord saved. And then one September, I says, right, girls. The parents wrapped me as well. Instead of the jeans, skirts, hats in the head. Learn to reverence God's house. And we got on the best, and the fellowship grew, and we used to have great times. And we used to go and take meetings and all that sort of thing. Good times. But these two girls in a profession the same night. They were born the same night, born again the same night. But they got caught up with their peers and up with a certain amount, a couple of fellas. And they went, left home, tried to talk to them, one in their teens, late teens, wouldn't listen. So they went, and one of them, she came back a few years later, and the boy beat her around a bit and so on. The second one, she came back to the Lord, that girl, and lamented what she had done. I remember preaching one morning, Romans 10 and 9, It's been a harvest or something, and she came out to the manse afterwards and got back to the Lord. She had made a mess of her life. And the other girl came back to the Lord but took ill. I went to see her in London, sat and talked to her, spiritual things. Mr. Stewart, she says, I'm in a situation I can't get out of. She's only about 30 years of age. Well, the Lord took her home. The Lord took her out of it. You know, you can't just play around with the Lord and do what you like. You reap what you sow many times in life. And it's important that even who you're going with, who you marry, that they love the Lord and they want to serve the Lord and want to live for Him. It's important that we know what it is to get on with one another and serve the Lord together. Lastly, I'll do this quickly. There's the importance of our daily walk with the Lord. Here's what He sent is essential. No matter whether we're in the ministry or just an ordinary believer, member of the church, our relationship with Christ. I have known men in the past who are ministers and some ordinary believers who had a testimony, who were able to preach and all the rest. They're nowhere spiritual today. Nowhere. As a matter of fact, some of you wonder even they were saved. They were ministers. And I know something of how hard it is, even young people and teenagers in the work of God. I was saved when I was 17. I worked among a crowd of men in an engineering works who are mostly from the Shankar Road, and you stepped out of line, they told you what they thought of you. It was the best training I ever had because you had to live right. If you stepped out of line at all, they said, oh, you're a Christian, you're only a hypocrite. And all the rest, they told you what they thought of you. It's good training. You had to live right, do right, speak right, all the rest. And when I was an examination board of our church for years, ended up as chairman for years, we used to examine young men. They have to meet us, recommended by their session. We then, the first thing I do was ask their testimony. And then after 4 years do the training, meet us again. And we could say yes or no, whether go on to be licensed and ordained and so on. And some after 4 years, we turned down after 4 years. It wasn't very nice to do it, but we had to do it. Because you have to be careful who you let into the ministry. And some of them give the benefit of the doubt. But I know it was our responsibility. And I was amazed at how many of those young men, when they came to school and all the rest, they lost out with the Lord. They lost their warmth for Christ. They lost their zeal for Christ. The world came in. I know it's difficult. Because that stage where the once were children, now they're becoming young men, and young ladies becoming ladies and so on. And it's a difficult time in life. But you know, I learned early in life to always put the Lord first in my life. And have an eye for His glory and His honor. And every day crown Him Lord of my life. The Lord Jesus, prophetically speaking in the Psalm 16, said, I have set the Lord always before me. And that's a good principle to go by in life. Put the Lord first. Remember how the Apostle Paul put it in Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, it's only what's ordinary expected of us to put the Lord first. To live for Him. To love His word. To live for Christ. And whatever's around you in life and going on in life, learn to put the Lord first and to serve the Lord. You see how Paul even put it in this first chapter, young Timothy. He says, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Here's the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and faith that's unhypocritical, from which some having swerved, it means have deviated from the truth, have turned aside, it's used in the Greek as a medical term. It means become deformed. and unto vain jangling, which is useless talk. This is what happens when you turn away from Christ and turn away from his word. Your life becomes, in many ways, of no use no longer to the Lord. And whatever else is going on with you in your life, put the Lord first. For who knows what God has for you in the days to come? If you'd have known me as a young believer, I would have had no notion whatsoever of becoming a preacher. It was the furthest thing from my mind. But you know, when you put the Lord first, who knows what God will do for you in your life? And the greatest privilege in this life is to be a preacher of the word. It is to serve the Lord. We only have one life on this earth. It will soon be passed. And only what's done for the Lord Jesus will last. And I trust in years to come, when I become an old man — I'm not an old man yet, the mind's still young. I went to play football with young people before I retired. And when I was young, I could play. I was good at football. I could twist on a sixpence, as fit as a fiddle. My father played for Northern Ireland, and he thought I would play for Northern Ireland too. But when I got saved, I put all those things to the side. Now, there's no harm in a game of football. I loved it. But I wanted to serve the Lord, and that was more important to me than any of those things. And I went to the leisure centre one night with young people, and the mind said, turn the body. I said, hey, you can't do it any longer. So I had to then just win the goals, and then the near killed me hitting the ball that hard at me. The same young people. I thought they'd done something on them. They got their own back or some way. But who knows what the Lord has for us in the future. But the important thing is to love him and serve him. As I said at the beginning of this message, I can only touch on some things I've learned. I could mention much more. But the greatest lesson to learn is to walk with Christ day by day. If you can walk with Christ day by day, you've accomplished much in your Christian life. F.B. Meyer said this. He was a great preacher. He says, I'm only an ordinary man. I have no special gifts. I am no orator, no scholar, no profound thinker. If I've done anything for Christ in my generation, it's because I've given myself entirely to Christ Jesus and then tried to do whatever he wanted me to do. It's important. I remember one of my colleagues when he retired at the meeting, he said, if I had 1,000 lives, I'd give every one to Jesus Christ. And I said, amen to that. 1,000 lives? I give every one to Jesus Christ. We sang that wee chorus tonight. Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace until the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hand, rest secure in his plans. Let the Lord have his way. That's the greatest thing you can accomplish when you walk with the Lord. And then who knows what way God will lead you and the way as God will direct you. I never dreamed the way as God would lead me. You know, when I wasn't saved, I left school when I was 14, for I had my life planned what I was going to do. I was going to get into my teens, get a trade behind me, leave home, join a certain navy and so on. I had it all planned. I went one day to the very office of the navy and turned my foot. I couldn't do it. Something turned me. And I turned away and went home. Of course, the Lord. And the greatest day in my life was just a month ago when I came to know Christ as my Savior and Lord. I've never regretted it for a day, and it's over 50 years since I came to know Christ. Greatest thing ever happened to me was to know the Savior. Young people tonight, if you're not saved, let me tell you something. This world has nothing to offer you. Oh, there's plenty to offer you regarding sin and pleasure, yes. But hell at the end. If you think the pleasures of this world, which are for a season, are worth an eternal hell, well, you're not too wise. Whereas there's salvation in Christ. There's life in Christ. There's abundant life in Christ. There's joy in Christ. There's heaven in Christ. But it's only in Christ. It's only in the Savior. And I urge you tonight to come to the Savior and trust him. He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He's one who'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's one who can bring you through the hardest times and difficult times. And one day when life is over, we'll bring you safely home to the glory land. to enjoy heaven for all eternity. You see, if you're not saved, you wouldn't enjoy heaven. Because heaven is where Christ is. We're going to see the Savior in all his glory. We're going to be with him. How could you stick heaven? And yet, how are you going to stick hell? That's where you're going if you die without Christ. And I've seen people dying angry with God. I had relations who died angry with God. And angry when I spoke to them about God's salvation. You know, they had a gun that had shot me, someone. Hated Christ. But don't you be like them. Trust Christ. He's a wonderful Savior. And he will save you if you'll come to him and trust him. We'll close in a word of prayer. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your great salvation. Thank you for all the blessings we have in Christ. We pray that you'll help us each day we live to live on to Christ, to glorify your great name, to exalt Christ in all we do and say. We fail so often. We let you down so often, Lord. Even the Apostle Paul could say, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. But we bless thee, there's mercy with the Lord. There's forgiveness with thee. We thank you for the precious blood that cleanses us from all sin. We thank you in Christ are among the blessed ones to whom the Lord no longer imputes iniquity. Because we're pardoned and justified in Christ. Dear Lord, help young people in this meeting tonight to see it. If they're not saved, bring them to yourself. Have mercy upon them. And for those that are thine, help us, Lord, to live for thee. And to glorify thee. And put thee first in everything. And help us when we meet thee, Lord, we'll not be ashamed. But we'll hear the well done, good and faithful servant. So bless us each one. Thank you for the food provided. Bless it to us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.